Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah the Almighty, Salamu Alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith and humanity. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about courage and bravery in Islam. I invite all of you to be with us. Today, Friday, is the 20th of Rabiul Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 5th of the month of Azar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 26th of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment of today's special by recitation of chapter Ankabut, verses 1, 2, 3. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Alif Lam.
Al
أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ
Do the people think that they will be left to say, we believe, and they will not be tried?
وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ
But we have certainly tried those before them, and Allah will surely make evident those who are truthful, and He will surely make evident the liars.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Some people may be in some environments which are polluted from any point of view, and the temptations of making mischief surround them from all sides. The great trial is that in such an atmosphere and in such conditions, they do not tend to pollutions of the environment and protect their own nobility and purity. A group may involve in the pressure of deprivations while they see that if they agree to exchange the capitals of their noble souls, their poverty and deprivation will quickly disappear. But this is for the price of losing their faith, piety, freedom, nobility, and honor. And this very thing is their trial. Today's special from IRIB English Radio looks at courage and bravery in Islam. True courage, as outlined in the Holy Quran, is showing determination in respecting all of Allah's limits without exception and without hesitation, fearing none other than Allah, and non-deviating from this course, whatever the circumstances or the condition. Essentially, courage is the virtue that arises as a result of faith in those who fear no one but Allah and who are deeply devoted to Him. Those who believe in Allah show courage as an outcome of their fear of Allah and their longing for the hereafter, because they are sincere, they are also courageous. For the good pleasure of Allah, they adopt the manners taught by the Holy Quran, and strive to persuade others to do the same, not remaining silent in the face of evil acts committed around them. They take on the responsibility of struggling against evil and speaking of truth, beauty, and virtue.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to be brave in Islam. I mean, and in this connection, we are going to consider various aspects of braveness or bravery according to Islamic teachings. Those people who are brave, they have absolute belief in the divine abrupt helps, and they are hopeful, and they are optimistic. And this optimism, this being optimistic in this regard, is very important in the sense that they never feel defeated in their endeavors. there are many people who may have hope in other people, yet we find that truly brave people have hope only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in receiving the divine helps. Another characteristic or another trait of being a brave person in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that those people who are brave enough in the voice, in the tasks in this world, not only do they have absolute reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have firm belief in the effects of making supplications and offering prayers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They show their sincerity and uprightness in various contexts. Because of this, we find that, I mean, braveness from the Islamic perspective has received various aspects and dimensions. Thank you.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
From different kinds of courage, rich to spiritual courage. Spiritual courage is the courage to face up to spiritual questions that may be uncomfortable, a threat to you, to your own identity as a spiritual person, or undermine your own spiritual beliefs. Often people who do not have spiritual courage will live an unexamined life wherein they choose not to think about their own morality, mortality, or spiritual questions. People can be atheists and Gnostics, and still have spiritual courage. It involves the courage to ask spiritual questions rather than simply the courage to be religious. Sticking together, this is one of the tips to liberate ourselves from fear. Let's listen more about it. We are commanded to stick together and to watch over each other, especially in times of danger. In the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty says, "And hold firmly to the rope of Allah together and do not disunite." Chapter 3, verse 103. Again, Allah in chapter 4, verse 102 says, "When you, O Muhammad, are among them and lead them in prayer, let one party of them stand up in prayer with you, taking their arms with them. When they finished their prostrations, let them take their positions and in the rear, and let the other party come up, which has not yet prayed, and let them pray with you, taking all the precautions and bearing arms." Teamwork gives each of us a greater sense of comfort and security.
A lot of times when we talk of justice and courage, we tend to define it in terms of having the upper hand and being able to be stronger and fight the enemy and so on and so forth. But a lot of times, courage is the ability to allow someone else to take an advantage of you, but you stand on the principle of justice. Like, for example, when Sa'id bin Abdullah stands in front of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and takes arrows on his chest. Or, for example, when Hur is the commander of an army of 1,000 men and he leaves a position of authority and power in exchange for being killed. Or for example, when someone like Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam is asked to move the tents from the banks of the river, or is told instead of fighting you go and fetch water. You see, it's easy to go and fight because it's natural to him. He's known for his courage, for his bravery, for his ability to fight. But he's remembered for his courage because of his submission to his master's will, for the fact that he gives up what he really wants to do for a greater cause, for something that is justice. And therefore, we need to call on our leaders on this issue of justice and leadership. Think of any religious leader that you know, that you admire, and that you look up to. You will see that the most outstanding quality that you know him for is his justice and courage. What are the individuals we look up to? We say, Imam Khomeini, what was it about him? Courage. Even today in contemporary times, who is the scholar we're talking about? Sheikh al-Nimr. All remember Sheikh al-Nimr. Why? We talk about him, we pray for him because of his courage, his ability to speak when he's at a disadvantage. The greatest sign of courage is when you're able to tell a tyrant, a zalim, that he is a zalim on his face, even though you don't have the army, you don't have the guns, you don't have the, you only have your words.
Dear brothers and sisters, what you had listened to was today's special from IRIB English Radio. That's all for today's episode. Inshallah, we'll meet you in another day, same time, same channel. Thank you very much for joining us. Till another episode. Fi amanillah.
Some might say this world today is short. God's left us to our mistakes, and he's never been so far away. Some might say, how could any father stand? See his children across many lands, suffer so, give no help in hand, no help in hand. Somewhere tonight, far away and out of sight, there's a child that's too weak to cry. Deep in those eyes, can't you see him in disguise, reaching out to the heart that's in you? And every tear but is when he is there.
Food for thought. Hello, dear listeners, and let us contemplate upon what the leader of the pious and the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, has said about the vicissitudes of life. The consequence of fear is disappointment, and the consequence of bashfulness is frustration. Opportunity passes away like the cloud. Therefore, make use of good opportunities.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In many traditions, and even in the glorious Quran, we see the word heart mentioned a lot. Now what we must know is that what we mean by heart, and I've said this before, is not the physical heart, the particular organ in the body that pumps blood throughout the body. It's not what we mean by heart. But rather, what is meant by heart is a faculty, a spiritual potential that is within every human being. And the heart is the vessel by which this takes place. So in this tradition from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a very beautiful tradition. He speaks about the heart, and there are many beautiful lessons that we can take from this tradition. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your appearances nor at your possessions. Rather, He looks at your hearts and actions. Now there are many different things that we can abstract from this tradition. The first one is that why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not look at the first two things, that is the appearance and your possessions, and looks at your heart and actions? One possible explanation and reason is this, is that your appearance and your positions are given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that risk comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our physical form comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to have a closer look at what He has already given us? There's no need, because He already knows what it is. Nor is it any different or important to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? But Allah is the most beautiful, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the infinite in His possessions, in His wealth, and in His giving and generosity. But the next two are important. Why? Because obviously it is the heart that contains the, or here we can say the soul, the heart can be meant here, the soul, that it is that to which defines who you are. And this definition comes about via what? Via your actions. That it is your actions that shape your heart, that shape your soul. And it is here where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to say, okay, who are you? Your physical appearance is not you. It's another possible explanation. That your physical appearance is not you. Your possessions is not your identity. It does not make you. It is your heart and your soul that does, and what makes that is your actions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable our hearts to manifest the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by giving us the ability to perform actions that will allow us to do so, that we perform actions that are desired and wanted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order for our hearts to be a place where when Allah looks, Allah is pleased that we have done a good job. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك رب بقرآن جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. I'm your host Mahdi, and you're joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and Assalamu alaikum to you, all of the dear listeners of this program. I'm glad to be with you.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. First, we're going to talk about a famous Quran reciter. Then we are going to listen to a recitation of that famous reciter. And after it, Brother Muhammad will analyze and talk about that recitation. And beside these parts, we're going to have some other interesting Quranic segments which will be presented to you. So please stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Sha'ban Abdul Aziz Sayyad. This prominent Egyptian reciter was born in 1940. His father, Abdul Aziz Ismail Ahmad Sayyad, was a prominent reciter too. At the age of 7, Sha'ban Abdul Aziz managed to memorize the Noble Quran completely. And at the age of 12, he was invited to Quranic gatherings to recite the Holy Quran. His style of recitation was greatly influenced by Sheikh Muhammad Rifat, Sheikh Muhammad Salama, and Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. In 1966, he graduated from Al-Azhar University in the field of Principles of Religion. In 1957, when he was 35 years old, he managed to pass the exam to enter Egyptian radio as a reciter, and then he became global. He traveled to many countries, including Islamic Republic of Iran, Kuwait, Emirates, Jordan, Syria, Iraq, Indonesia, United Kingdom, France, and the United States. He knew Mahmoud Ali al-Banna, Abul Ainain Shu'aisha, and Sheikh Mustafa Ismail as his main encouragers. This prominent Quran reciter passed away in 1998 at the age of 58. May Allah bless him. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verse 116 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, recited by Sheikh Sha'ban Abdul Aziz Sayyad. Let's enjoy it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verse 116 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, recited by Sheikh Sha'ban Abdulaziz Sayyad. Now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay. First, let's talk about the maqamat and also the reading, the riwayat, which have been used in this recitation. Okay, the first time that he recites until qala subhanak, it was the riwayah of Hafs an Asim. And the maqam was Bayati. When he reads the word Subhanak the first time, by alone, okay, it's maqam Bayati. The second time, it's maqam Kur.
Even one word?
No, just one word in maqam Kur. Mm-hmm. And after he says Subhanak in maqam Kur for the second time, he reads the verse from the beginning. And this time in the riwayah of Warsh al-Nafir. You know, Warsh al-Nafir is one of the favorite riwayahs of Egyptians, because Warsh himself was an Egyptian. And we see that a lot of Egyptian reciters have recited in this riwayah. For example, Abdul Basit, Sheikh Muhammad Sadiq al-Hinshawi, Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, Sheikh Mahmoud al-Batna, Sheikh Kamil Yusuf al-Batni, Sheikh Shahat Muhammad Anwar, Sheikh Muhammad, a lot of reciters, Egyptian reciters, have used this riwayah in the recitations. And how do we know that it's Warsh? Because the phrase, A'anta, he said, A'anta.
He uses tasheel.
He did tasheel here. And the second sign is that he said, ma yakunu liya. He doesn't say, ma yakunu li an aqul. In Hafs, the ya is pronounced like a ya ul mad. But in Warsh, the ya has a fatha. Liya an aqul. And it's not an aqul, it's an aqul. The fatha goes to the previous letter. Okay? And the
to
hamza
the letter, you mean.
To the yes, which is a second letter, and the hamza, there's no hamza, is disregarded. But there's no, we earlier in previous programs we said that tasheel takes place whenever we have this happening. Whenever we have a second letter in Warsh followed by a hamza, we said tasheel doesn't take place. If tasheel was to take place, you would have to pronounce that second letter with its own timing, and then you have to pronounce the fatha. But we don't do this. We don't say an-na-qula, an-na-qula. We say an-na-qula. Okay, so we have the haraka of the letter after the second letter being transferred to
the previous
the letter before preceding the hamza. This is Warsh. And that's the only difference between Warsh and Hafs in this recitation. So the rules of tajweed that we have are وَإِذْ قَالَ, we have تَفْخِيم of قَاف at the highest level. قَالَ اللَّهُ, we have تَغْلِيب of the letter لَام, the majestic name of Allah. أَأَنْتَ, we have إِخْفَى of نُون ساكنة, where you're supposed to approximate the place of articulation of ta and nasalize the noon for two vowel counts. Of course, the noon is not pronounced from its own place of articulation.
We pronounce something like ta, nasalized ta.
Yes, an approximated ta. And then we actually pronounce the ta after we approximate it. We have meem mushaddad in the word ummi. A meme with tashdeed. So we have to apply ghunna. There's no difference. In all riwayas, in all the 10 qira'at, or the 7 qira'at, the famous qira'at, qira'at sab'a or ashra.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
We have to apply ghunna whenever there is a meme or noon with mushaddad.
إِلَهَيْنِ
مِن دُونِ. Again, we have إِخْفَاء
a concealment, actually.
Yes. دُونِ اللَّهِ. Now, this name of Allah in this verse, which is the second time that has been mentioned, has to be, the lam has to be pronounced with tarqiq, not with tawleel. Why is that? It's because the lam of Allah, or the name of Allah, is preceded by a letter with a kasra. So we pronounce the lam with tarqiq. This is the only condition for tarqiq of lam. If there is a kasra or ya'ul mad preceding the word Allah. Qala subhanak.
And for the rest lams, I think lam is pronounced with tarqiq.
Yes. Only in the majestic name of Allah,
yes,
we have tarqiq and tawleel.
Mm-hmm.
All the other lams and other words have to
should
be pronounced
with
tarqiq.
Yes.
Okay.
That's fine.
Such as qala.
Yeah.
The lam in qala is pronounced with tarqiq, even though it has a fatha.
Yes.
Yes. It's not like ra, where if the letter has a fatha, you have to pronounce it with tafkhim.
Yeah.
No,
what matters actually is the majestic name of Allah.
Yes, that's right. Subhanak. We have qalqala of the ba in this word. Subhanak.
Is it as a sakin here?
Yes, because the ba is sakin, you have to apply qalqala. We've talked about qalqala before.
Yes.
Basically, you allow the articulators to come apart right whenever they touch each other. Subhanak. It's not a vowel. It's a neutral sound. It's neither a fatha, kasra, or long.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
صفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبي لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الأذان والقرآن وفيه محاسن الأخلاق والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint. A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
As
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program, Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting, and Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah joining us here in the studio. Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Brother Hussein, assalamu alaikum to you too, and welcome to the program again.
Wa alaikum assalam, I'm glad to be here.
You're welcome. In this series of programs, Viewpoint, or the Movie Critique Program, we are mainly focusing on the religious concepts rather than the artistic features typical of so-called critical programs about arts and artistic characteristics of the movies. So our main purpose is to address those features and themes which are related about religion and God and whatsoever that goes with that territory. Last time, we started criticizing the movie Infinite. It's a very new movie, 2021. It's an American science fiction movie directed by Antoine Fuqua. Let's take a listen to a part of this movie, and we'll be back with more critique.
Did you ever have a dream so real? It felt like a memory? You ever catch yourself in the mirror and it's a surprise? Like you expected to see someone else's face staring back at you. All these people, all going somewhere, all doing something. But what does it all add up to? Maybe if I knew the answer, all the little things might click together. They might make sense.
You just listened to a part of the movie Infinite? The new American science fiction movie directed by Antoine Fuqua. Brother Hussein, in this movie, or in this part of the movie, when they're talking about so much confusion in life, especially, like when there is confusion you feel about dreams, as an example, all right, that feel like memories sometimes. Sometimes they look like real, genuine memories, as being reflected in the movies at the beginning, right? Or in the beginning parts. Also, you have other stuff which seem very much real, and sometimes it encourages you to think that, well, reincarnation is a genuine or a valid concept. Don't you think so?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You're asking if reincarnation is a valid concept?
Yeah, according to the movie and the type of like series of, let's say,
events
that try to show you and then try to, let's say, prove the point.
Yeah, like hint at the fact viewers. That, I mean, obviously, it gives you the idea that, you know, maybe reincarnation is real.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have various, sources that deny this idea. I mean, if you're a Muslim, for example, you have... The Quran says that there's no such thing as reincarnation.
Yes.
There's a hereafter, there's resurrection, there's a paradise.
Yes.
But, obviously it's sometimes one entertains this thought. And,
mm-hmm.
Especially in moments where you have like a deja vu.
Yes,
you
exactly.
Think, like, what? Am I reincarnated? Was I,
mm-hmm.
that's a very major theme in the movie.
Okay. Sayyid Abdullah, what is the purpose of life? On the surface, like nihilism, even one of the divisions stated in this movie, seems very much right, but with the belief in all that clicks, like all of these dots which are missing in our lives, like memories and stuff, like even deja vu that Brother Hussein was talking about, they seem that all clicks. If you just put in the concept of reincarnation, does it make it valid?
You asked me a question, what's the purpose of life? And this is a question that everyone wants an answer to. In our previous review of Interview with God, he said the purpose of life is to live, struggle, and to worship God. That's the purpose of life. So the idea was, the guy, the only reason he wanted to eliminate life because he saw no purpose, because he was going through pain.
Yes.
Right. As a human beings, we don't want pain. We want comfort. And so we miss the point of life itself. Life is not meant to be a a comfortable place. We weren't meant to be people just to come and relax and live like kings. Mm-hmm. Think of it as a travel.
Yes.
If you travel from one place to another, during your travel, there are times where you're going to get a rest. You sit and you take a break
yeah.
and stuff. But most of the times, you're going from a plane to a train to a car, and there's like tiredness and stuff happens. So that's what a trip is, right? That's what traveling is. This world is meant to be like this. So it was based on suffering to be, if we can be more technical. It was based on suffering to see how would you cope, how would you do.
Mm-hmm.
So some people, their initial response to that, like to pain, is let me eliminate it completely. Either for me, I kill myself, or I eliminate it for the entire universe, because this guy, he was keep going backwards and forwards
yes.
in life, and he didn't want that to continue. So he wanted to,
mm-hmm.
eliminate the life. But I'm saying, you know, he had that gun that could
yes.
Absorb your memories and stuff like
yes,
that and locks
yeah.
it, and you will not be reborn. I'm like, just use that against yourself and you'll be comfortable. Why do you have to kill the entire humanity with you? So that was like a loophole in the plot itself of the movie.
Yes.
So like I said, this concept is what drives people crazy, and then they start to question, what is the purpose of life?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it's meant to be suffering, so be it. So it's just how you see it. Well, I mean, sometimes you see it.
The movie doesn't answer that question, though.
No, it doesn't answer that question at
yeah.
all. I mean, but the guy...
I mean, even if as valid or sound the idea, the concept, or the notion of reincarnation may sound, it can't prove anything, and it can't add anything to the basket.
No, so
the
idea
question.
Of reincarnation actually makes you question life or the purpose of life.
Yes.
Because you're being reincarnated over and over and over.
Yes.
So you say to yourself, what is the purpose?
Yes.
So reincarnation does not solve the problem, but it actually adds more to the problem,
exactly.
adds more fuel to the fire.
Yes.
Because I keep coming back
mm-hmm.
for no reason.
Yes.
If anything, it's just more painful because
we'll
I am reliving everything.
Yes,
again.
We'll talk about this more, like the idea of reincarnation, the validity or invalidity, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But before me asking you more questions, stay with us, and let's take a listen to a part of this movie, Infinite, a 2021 movie.
Are there things you just know how to do? Like no one's ever showed you. Somehow each step in the process makes sense.
You just listened to a part of the movie Infinite. This is a new American science fiction movie. In this program, Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. Brother Hussein, knowing things or how to do them without even learning them before, all right? It's something which is being portrayed in this movie, like forging a sword, like the
yeah.
Mark Wahlberg, the major character in this movie, forges a sword out of nowhere, like it hasn't learned anything about it, or
yeah.
swords. This modern technological world, nobody's has anything to do with the sword, right? Even if
it was a special delivery, I don't think he does that regularly.
Yes, but the thing is, like, such things are supposed to, like, the deja vu experience you talked about, that everybody's, like, familiar with it, like, I'm sure you and me or the audience might have some kind of experience about deja vu. Like,
yeah.
you've been to some places and you sort of think that you've been there before, but you have forgotten it, or you have done it in the past lives according to the movie, like reincarnation, this
We're
concept.
Human.
Yes. Are such phenomena, such as deja vu, or this one that I just talked about, knowing things without even learning them before, true? For me,
you know, I guess the real implication of what's portrayed in the movie
mm-hmm.
as you know being reincarnated or whatever, I feel like for us it's just kind of like discovering a talent. We feel like we've done it before, that's why it's so easy for
mm-hmm.
us. But you know, it's nothing more than a talent. We're not reincarnated, not necessarily.
Yes.
We just, you know, have a good hand in whatever, you know, we're good at, I guess.
Yes.
Some people are good at, you know, sports. Some people are good at, you know, literature. I don't know.
I see. Any comments on this, Sid Abdullah?
The thing is that when we learn things, I mean, we can, with ourselves, this is something everyone can relate to. For example, when you learn a language or when you learn something new, in the back of your mind, you feel it's always been there.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't actually learn it. You kind of discovered it, right? It was already there. So it gives you the impression that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you all there is to know. It's just a matter of you trying to do what? Going through the process of and revealing it from your head. For example, if I say to you, what's your name? Say to me, okay, my name is Fulan. And this name, if you think of it, is eternal. You feel that it always existed.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like a time where it never existed and then it came to be.
Yes.
So with information as well, we never know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have given us all there is to know. But it's just we don't find it. But when we find it, we feel that it's always been there.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, I don't know. I mean, I've read this theory in one of the researcher that says even through DNA,
yes,
you can inherit information that wasn't even yours, or memories that's not even yours.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible that one day you wake up and you say, you know what, I've seen something, I could swear it was like in for example, World War II. Because
right.
We have a lot of people, if you go on YouTube, they claim that they've seen things that have, you know, like years ago. Like
YouTube is a crazy place.
Yeah, no, but that
just
that
for reference.
No, yeah, exactly. But the idea is that we have a lot of people that claim they've been reincarnated,
mm-hmm,
based on the fact that they had previous memories. Because you have previous memories, because you remember, it doesn't mean that you're actually reincarnated. No,
yes.
It could be the information already there. It's just a matter of just coming,
mm-hmm,
to the
Brother Hussein, adding to that, what Sayyid Abdullah said, you know, don't you think there is a kind of comparison between such movies trying to, let's say, defend the idea of reincarnation, and also a couple of movies that a while back we criticized about cloning. Like, even if the new person seems to have with him or carries with him some types of the memories that belong to the past, it's like reminiscent of reincarnation again.
I guess it kind of hints at the fact. I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, you know, in Hollywood terms, if you have, you know, advanced technology, you can do anything. So you can pick up memories with a USB flash, you know, drive or whatever, and just, you know, transfer them to other human bodies. But I feel like it's a little bit different with the reincarnation. Because, I
yes,
mean,
it is.
Even reincarnation itself.
But the memories still live on. Like through the next person, it's like the cloned person, all
mm-hmm
right? So it somehow looks very much similar to the idea of like reincarnation in this sense, that the soul in fact takes a new body.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess the soul really controls your body, right? So, you know, whatever you're used to do, you're used to doing, you kind of do the same thing, even if you're in a different body.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's what the concept is, right?
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah, for your being here with us, contributing to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We call ourselves the infinite. We remember skills from all our past lives. It takes 10,000 hours to master a skill. How could you do that after a million hours?
What do I know that you need so bad?
That's why you're here, to find out.
We have fought one another for centuries. But you can't stop what's coming.
The end of all things.
Is he blocked?
Well, well, well. We're gonna have to reset your memory.
You gonna drown me?
I got a thing about drowning.
Which is?
I don't like it.
You know what, man? I like you this time around.
Shut up and turn it on.
This is IRIB English Radio.